Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's Thursday, May 13th. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And I'm dying.
Kyle is blessing us with his presence, even though he is struggling, but he's going to make it through the show. He gave us his word. Yeah. He's in on this thing. So we got a lot to talk about today. We got the AFC East. We got the NFC East. Before we get to any of that, again, introducing Kyle Previance, SBR's MLB guy, SBR's NFL guy, and on Friday, SBR's NBA guy, I guess. I mean, you're just doing everything.
Man, oh, man. So, yeah, it's good Lord.
And you can find him on Twitter at DFS Bachelor, which you can see on your screen. You can also find it in the description of the video below. Or of the podcast, whichever one you are partaking of this on. And you can also find his YouTube channel. That would be at DFS Bachelor. Very easy to find. So, of course, Chris and myself, you can find us, winningcureseverything.com. Everywhere you need to follow, everywhere you need to subscribe, every show we're on, every appearance, whatever, we post it up there to make it very easy for you to find. So go and check that out, winningcureseverything.com. And for us, we are the SBR College Football Guys. And you can find that, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Also, if you want to see all three of us at any point, you can search out SBR Picks on YouTube, and you will be able to see our bright, shining faces right over there.
Right.
All right, let's dive into the NFL stuff. Obviously, schedule was released last night. I don't know that there's a lot for us to discuss with that as of yet, but it was at least.
I would appreciate that, because I will tell you, my sorry ass was so – I haven't looked at – I know the Bucks and the Cowboys play the first game, and I think Tom Brady goes back to New England week four. That's about all I know right now, and that is sad, because I got to study before tomorrow.
So the first thing I did was check to see what it's going to cost me to get into Foxborough, and the cheapest ticket in the house is almost $1,500.
Oh my God!
It's gonna be nuts.
Well, I won't be making it to that game. I won't see Tommy's return. I just can't swing that yet.
So We got Browns Chiefs first week. So I mean, that should be entertaining.
Well, there you go.
I think.
I wish that was a Sunday night game.
I agree.
Yeah, me too. That would
be really good. By the way, there's a whole lot going on. We'll dive into the schedules next week. We already knew who the teams they were playing were going to be. It kind of shows exactly how big the NFL is. With the fact that they can release the order of the games that you already knew were happening, and it just completely dominates the news cycle. So, big-time stuff with that. We will start off today's show with the AFC East, and we're going to start with the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills went 13-3 last year. They looked good. Josh Allen boosted his completion percentage by like 10% last year with the addition of Stephon Diggs at wide receiver. That was the biggest driving force in them becoming a massive contender last season. And, you know, obviously, Chris and myself, if you watch this for any amount of time, you have heard us talk glowingly about Sean McDermott. He is a fantastic coach, defensive-minded, but he understands what it takes to win in the NFL. You got to have playmakers. Stephon Diggs is that playmaker for them. They haven't been able to find a running game. Don't know that you necessarily need it all that much, but they're looking around. You know, we'll see what they end up doing. They have done some interesting things with their draft this year, so we are going to talk about that. Their needs were edge rusher, cornerback, defensive tackle, tight end, and safety. So we'll start off. They drafted two straight edge rushers. First round, they got Gregory Rousseau out of Miami. He opted out last season. I think had he played and put up any kind of similar production to what he did the season before, I think he probably would have been a top 15 pick. But either way, you only saw one season of it, and he looks like a monster. On top of that, second round, they got Carlos Basham Jr. from Wake Forest, who is an absolute beast. He's a stud. Round three, offensive tackle Spencer Brown out of Northern Iowa. Love that pick. Chris and I have watched FCS for a while. That guy's a hoss as well. Offensive tackle Tommy Doyle out of Miami, Ohio in the fifth round. Marquez Stevenson out of Houston, wide receiver in the sixth round. Also sixth round, safety Damar Hamlin out of Pitt. Round six, Rashad Wild Goose out of Wisconsin, cornerback. Best name in the entire draft, Wild Goose. And round seven, offensive guard Jack Anderson out of Texas Tech. I am a fan of what they did. I like this. They hit on a lot of their needs. You know, you can get a running back at any point, undrafted, whatever. Right. So I'm not worried about that one. But yeah, I mean, they hit basically everything else. They took some chances on some guys that I think can be absolute studs. I like what the Bills did here.
I do as well. In my mind, before the draft started, because Buffalo is one of those teams without really a whole lot of needs, a little bit of edge rushing help. But I was like, man, Travis Etienne would look fantastic lining up next to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's one of my favorite young players in the league. I absolutely love Josh Allen. I grew up, look, I was a 49er fan, but I loved those Jim Kelly, K-Gun teams with Andre Reed and Lofton. The Bills have a special place in my heart, and I absolutely love Josh Allen. I like what they did in this draft. I would have liked them see them get a couple more, something on the interior of that defensive line. They were the worst red zone rushing defense in the league last year. I know their defense overall was good, but when it got close, they were giving up far too many rushing touchdowns. You want to make these guys throw, especially when you have corners like Levi Wallace and Tre'Davious White, who might be, you know, could be the second, third best corner in the league, you know, Ramsey, Gilmore, White, however you want to rank them. But I like what they did here. If Rousseau does any, it was a big problem for Buffalo getting pressure on the quarterback. All of their edge rushers are 30 years or above, so they needed to get younger and more athletic, and I think they did exactly that. Never hurts to bring over some big boys to help your quarterback. Look, it's no secret. Josh Allen is the end, the beginning, the middle. He is their run game, their passing game. He is everything for this offense, so you got to do everything you can to protect him, especially in the red zone. I mean, I know they tried out Zach Moss in the red zone and Singletary, and those are two younger, talented guys, but they're kind of meh. So I wouldn't have minded seeing a running back maybe two later on. That would be the only knock. But overall, I think they addressed some needs. Again, they didn't have a ton of them. Buffalo's going to be right back where they were last year, contending for the AFC and contending to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like what they did as well. This is a team that didn't really have a lot of needs, and the one need they did hit half, you talked about it, and I've repeated this multiple times throughout these things, is they needed front help, defensive front help. This just wasn't the great draft to get that. So, you know, that maybe they can just make the best that they can, if that's their only glaring hole. Figure it out through coaching, through scheming, through developing guys, and then maybe address it next year when you might have some better players coming out of college for it. But no, I like what they did. This is one of those situations where when you don't have a lot of needs, you can just take the best player available, and they were able to do that. I think they got a lot of good talent.
And most certainly. Yeah. It also, offseason, you know, free agency, they picked up Matt Breida out of Miami. They picked up Jerry Hughes. Vernon Butler is there as a defensive tackle. Mario Addison. Like, they drafted A.J. Epenesa last year. Like, they got guys that should be coming into their own, and they picked up some free agents. Like, I think the defensive line will end up being fine.
Matt Breida will play one quarter. Let me just tell you, he's on the 49ers. Right? You're going to get one quarter out of Matt Breida. He's going to sprint. You're like, oh, my God, this is the most explosive running back in the league, and then you'll never see him again. That'll happen to Matt Breida.
You only need him for one quarter if you got Zach Moss taking a quarter and you got Singletary taking a quarter.
That's right.
You got, you know, whoever. So, yeah. You know, yeah. We'll see. But I do like what they did. I mean, this is a smart-run organization.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, you know, in the coming years. Like, we'll see. All right, moving on. And
the fans will be back next year with that good football team. Ooh. I mean, how about the great news today, right? Vaccinated people don't have to wear their – I get my second shot in like 5 days, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait just to wipe that card around.
Go ahead and tell you how you're feeling today. Is probably how you'll be feeling the day after your shot. Now, Chris had no issues.
Hey, it was nothing.
Everybody that I know of, including myself, got that second shot, and the next day – completely worthless. I was donezo.
I was top of the morning, man.
Some would argue that I'm worthless every day, so I'm not sure much will change, but there's that.
Yeah. I can buy it. I can buy it. All right, moving on from there, the Miami Dolphins. They went 10-6 last year. Surprise team. Everything looks good under Brian Flores. You know, they have some needs. Obviously, this is a young team. Still not sure what they were doing by cutting Kyle Van Noy. But, okay, you know, I mean, if you got a plan, why not stick to it? You know, they cut him, and they and basically the Patriots pick him up for like a bag of chips, as Chris would say. But they needed tackle help. They needed wide receiver help, center, running back, cornerback. And honestly, what I'm seeing looks pretty good. Here's what they did in the draft. In the first round, they had two picks. They got Jalen Waddle at number 6 out of Alabama, wide receiver. Edge rusher Jalen Phillips out of Miami, Florida. Number 1 or 2 as far as edge rushers go, and I think that was a really good pick. Second round, they got safety Javon Holland out of Oregon. Again, stud player, can make plays. Offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame in the second round as well. He's an offensive tackle. Tight end Hunter Long out of Boston College. And don't sleep on this kid. He was used a lot at Boston College, but obviously, if you're playing football at Boston College, not a lot of people are going to know your name. This guy can absolutely play. He's going to be a stud for them. They got him in the third round. And then you had 2 7th-rounders to take flyers on. Larnell Coleman, offensive tackle out of Massachusetts. Not going to lie, I got no idea who this kid is. And Jared Doakes, running back out of Cincinnati in the 7th round. Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I think the Dolphins are showing that they are a well-run organization again.
They really are, and you just got to be so excited if you're a Dolphins fan and seeing how this has turned around since that pile of uselessness Adam Gase left the team. And they knocked it out of the park. I love that first round. Jalen Waddle's going to fit beautifully with what Tua does, and, of course, they have a rapport together. Phillips, you know, you're right, the first or second best pass rusher in the draft. That defense was already really good last year for Miami. Love the Liam Eichenberg pick. Bring in, again, we talk about it, bring in those Notre Dame offensive linemen, protect Tua. They signed Will Fuller in free agency, so now Tua's going to have a full complement. You know, you'll have Will Fuller for about 4 games until he gets hurt, unless he's doing steroids again. And you'll have Devontae Parker for about 8 games until his hamstring is pulled, and hopefully Jalen Waddle will stay healthy there. And Mike Gesicki. So I like what the Dolphins did. I thought they did a fantastic job, and they just continue to knock it out of the park year after year. And, you know, of course, they can thank Bill O'Brien for that, because they're going to have assets up the wazoo for that trade of Laremy Tunsil, and that is what it is. And all the Houston fans can look at Miami and see what could have been and look what Miami is and be heartbroken. Love what the Dolphins did. Team on the rise. Another team that have a soft spot for, because, you know, Dan Marino, that's who I wanted to be when I was a kid.
So this is the last year that they have all the extra assets from Houston, though, right? Like,
I believe so.
No free picks. Brian Flores and those guys seem to be doing an unbelievable job there. I like what they did. I think they've got a lot of talent. I'm curious to see how it actually plays out on the field. They just watching them play football every week looks like a struggle. Okay. Mm-hmm. They play bad teams badly and they play good teams well. And it's really strange. They don't beat anybody really bad. And they kind of always look like they're struggling to get first downs offensively. They play tough, hard-nosed defensive football, and they're tough to score on. I just wonder at what point in time that's going to change. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, always look like they're having hard times getting first downs.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, you're right. You're right. 100% right.
The GM for them,
and
Chris
Greer. Ryan Fitzpatrick to save him this year when they can't throw the ball. So Tua's going to have to evolve and play better, and a lot of pressure.
I specifically think Jacoby Brissett went there because he thinks he can play there. I think he went there over staying in Indy as a free agent because he feels like, I got a shot to play here.
I can buy that. Chris Greer is the GM there, by the way. This guy is a wheeling, dealing son of a gun. Like, he has made super smart moves. You know, was the director of college scouting all the way up until 2015 and took over as general manager in 2016. He's only worked 2 places, with the Dolphins and with the Patriots. And he did most of it in scouting, but since he's been made general manager, man, they have made some good moves. I mean, I'm a fan of what they're doing.
You can fleece Bill O'Brien, I mean, that's kind of like stealing, though.
I feel like more people should have been able to do it. The fact that, like, an organization that hired Cliff Kingsbury and the Dolphins were able to do it, I feel like other guys should have been able to do it.
Yeah, a lot of other people could have done it.
Other people overthought it. They were like, wait, there's a catch here, isn't there? There's something going on with this Hopkins trade. What's up?
Yeah, exactly.
That had to be what was up, because I cannot believe that Hopkins didn't end up in New England for a second round.
Well, pick. They made it clear they weren't going to trade him in conference.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Basically, fleecing Bill O'Brien's like winning like the spelling bee at the Special Olympics, you know, for one of us. That's basically what happened there. Do they have? I don't even know if that exists. Yeah, that's an iffy joke. It's real iffy. But you know what?
Real iffy.
This country is so pussified lately. It's time to toughen up and get over ourselves. I've had enough of it. Participation trophies in every damn sport. Like, don't make a joke about this. Shut the hell up. Let's rock and roll. It's time to toughen up, America. We're silly. That's why China's going to pass us, because we're silly and weak.
Yes.
Time to toughen up.
I love it. I love it. Moving on to the New England Patriots, it is time. It's time for Chris to get to talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide and all the draft picks that Bill Belichick has used on Nick Saban's players, and I am excited about it. The Patriots did not look great last year, but Cam Newton obviously looked way better before he had COVID than after. Don't know if that was an effect or if people just figured out what he was doing. Obviously, we'll find out some this season if Cam can get back to what he was before he caught the bug and things went kind of downhill after that. So he did look kind of like, I mean, we were talking about him for the MVP after the first 4 weeks, weren't we?
Not MVP, but we thought the Patriots offense was going to be just fine.
Yes. And instead it went way downhill very quickly. Yeah. And then they come out and they spend the most money in the history of the NFL. The first day of free agency, they lock up dudes that they want. They got weapons. They don't have a ton of wide receiver guys, like super skill guys, but their tight end position is locked down, man. No problems there whatsoever. So alongside of that, something that they've never done in free agency, they also had a really good draft, at least according to draft experts. You know, we'll go with what they needed first: wide receiver, quarterback, cornerback, running back, linebacker. So basically, they needed skill players and they needed some help, you know, on defense, because they're getting a little older, you know, a little long in the tooth. They need some young, fresh guys. And they knocked all of them out of the park. I mean, just killed it. First round, they take Mac Jones out of Alabama. Second round, Christian Barmore, interior defensive lineman out of Alabama. Edge rusher in the third round, Ronnie Perkins out of Oklahoma. Fantastic value pick there. Round four, running back Ramondre Stevenson out of Oklahoma. Again, awesome pick there. I think he's going to be awesome, especially if you can put him in with all the other running backs that they got. He doesn't have to be the guy. Linebacker Cameron McGrone out of Michigan in the fifth round. Sixth round, Joshua Bledsoe, cornerback out of Missouri. Offensive tackle William Sherman out of Colorado in the sixth round. And then they take a flyer on a guy that I really, really like in the seventh round, Trey Nixon out of UCF. He's a wide receiver. So I think they kind of hit on this draft, man. This is my favorite draft of all of these teams. If for no other reason than I understand the strategy, I know where they're going, and I think they got some of the best players at the spots where they drafted them.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree just a little bit. Now, I don't hate what they did, but here's where the Patriots' needs were coming into the draft. Quarterback, 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 wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. First of all, Cam Newton cannot hit the broadside of a barn. He's the worst pocket pass. Last year, watching him try to throw from the pocket a timing route to Julian Edelman or any of those guys, it's just painful to watch. I would take Ben DiNucci from the Cowboys over Cam Newton as my quarterback right now. I'm dead serious. Cam Newton needs to be like Jacoby Brissett and Taysom Hill. Goal line, option routes, maybe play a little tight end. The dude can't throw the football. So I thought New England did a great job taking Mac Jones at 15. It was the obvious choice. They had to do it. All the moves they made in free agency, you can get all the tight ends you want in the world. You can have Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce or, you know, Ozzie Newsome. Cam Newton can't get him the football. Mac Jones can. So I do like that pick. My problem is, who the hell is Mac Jones going to throw to besides those tight ends? N'Keal Harry, look, I know there's some upside there, but he hasn't looked like much, and a lot of that could be attributed to bad quarterback play. And then what else? What else am I seeing on the outside? Who is going to scare them up top? It's just going to be – so I'm just supposed to believe that Hunter Henry, who's had injury issues, and Jonnu Smith, who's had injury issues, are going to carry the Patriots to the playoffs and in a division with the Dolphins and the Bills. I'm not buying it. I think I like the players. I think Barmore's a good player. I love the pick of Mac Jones. I think they nailed that 100% on the head to take this team serious. He's got to be their starter day one. Cam Newton can never step onto that field as their starting quarterback, or you cannot take them seriously. That's a JV offense if Cam Newton is your quarterback. So I love the first round pick. The rest of it, I think they needed more help on the outside, so I think they missed the mark a little bit. Their defense, it's going to be a great defense. They're going to be healthy, and we all know Belichick's defensive mind. This defense is going to be tough to score on. Do they have enough weapons to score enough points to get them over the hump? It's a little iffy for me, and I just don't see any explosivity in that offense whatsoever.
I cannot believe that you were going to sit there and talk trash about the wide receivers after they went and got Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar, and they got Jacoby Myers.
They got
Christian Wilkerson. And like I said, I like Trey Nixon probably more than most people, but I see where you're coming from.
Gary.
I know. It's a flyer.
He's a seventh-round pick. This is a guy you like. They don't need flyers. They need receivers. When they moved up in the second round, my first thought was, this is Rondale Moore. They want versatile guys that can play multiple positions. Rondale Moore is a utility knife that can be in that backfield. He can come out of the backfield.
He could have taken Julian's spot.
One of the craziest things. Yes. I would have loved to have seen them take a chance at Terrence Marshall right there, something like that. The fact that they took another defensive lineman in a not good defensive line draft is just ridiculous. They got all their defensive players back except for Patrick Chung from the COVID opt-outs. This defense is going to be substantially better than they were last year without drafting or signing anybody, because they had like five guys that were starters that opted out last year that are all going to be back. Okay.
Right.
So their only defensive need was safety. All right. Yep. They didn't move up to get more, which is what I thought they might do. And I would have been okay with that, but they need receiver help. And they don't need another defensive tackle. They need receiver help. That's what they should have done.
Especially in that division, who's the team that's running the ball down your throat in the AFC East?
Yeah, you're definitely not worried about the Jets, the Dolphins, or the Bills running the football on you.
Bingo.
Not at all.
Bingo.
You are correct about that.
Josh Allen is the only run threat, and he's only going to run the ball outside.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts to think
about. So I'm not going to question Bill. I just work under the understanding that Bill's never going to draft well, okay? He's just not. He hasn't my entire life. Of watching him coach football. He just cocks up the draft. His free agent signings are usually better than anybody else's. Most people don't think so when he does it. And then afterwards, it always works out. But his drafting is just not great. It's just not.
I mean, he did knock one sixth-round pick out of the park, if I remember correctly, just back in the day.
Well, yeah, no, he takes a lot of bites. He takes a lot of bites at the apple. All right. And he drafts a lot of guys, but all of his best draft picks are all these late round guys.
Yeah.
He can't go in the year he went and got N'Keal Harry as his number one wide receiver in the first round. That year, there was like three great wide receivers that went right behind him, all in the second. What are you doing, Bill? You took the one bust out of all the good wide receivers that went that year.
We were very confused. I wonder how Harry would be if he had not dealt with all those injuries, right? But he dealt with injuries in college as well. That's fine.
Let's keep giving the kid excuses. What we did to Sammy Watson, Watkins, all his entire career. He's not healthy. And then, he doesn't have the right system. And, he doesn't have the good quarterback. And then, finally, we get him with Andy Reid, fully healthy with the Chiefs, this offensive machine, and he puts up okay numbers, good numbers, but not great numbers. And finally, people were like, maybe he just didn't really good.
And then he has the nerve to say, well, maybe I'll just go to another team and win them a Super Bowl, as if Sammy fucking Watkins is the reason they won the Super Bowl. Get the hell out of here. He bugs the shit out of me.
No.
He bugs the absolute shit out of me.
I just don't understand. But this is the bet I've made with Bill, okay? I love the Patriots. I will support Bill. I just never get excited about the draft because I understand that half these guys aren't even going to make the damn team. They're just not.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be stoked with Mac Jones, though, right? You have to be. At least it's not Cam Newton starting. It's obviously not going to be who's the other kid that everyone wanted to see.
Let me tell you what I'm happy about. I'm happy that they didn't move up for him, okay?
Yes,
if that's who you land on, you need a quarterback, okay? Mm-hmm. And as long as he's the only quarterback left available out of the five, I'm all right with that. I'm not upset about it. I don't hate it. He's now my quarterback, and I got to support it. Had they moved up to get him over Fields or some of those guys, I would have been pissed. I would have been real pissed. Well, who I wanted was Fields, who had when Dan Orlovsky, who I thought was a piece of shit for reporting the stuff that he reported, started doing it. All I kept thinking was, this is the best news I've ever heard in my life. Please let that man fall. And then when he falls, he's going to have a chip the size of Ohio on his shoulders, and Bill's going to get him, and it's going to change football forever, and we're going to just wreck people. That's all I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bears got half smart for the first time in their life.
Yeah.
Closing out the AFC East, we're going to move to the New York Jets. And there's never really been good things to talk about with the Jets in at least a decade. Obviously, when Ryan was there, you know, you had the franchise, you know, Mark Sanchez. You had all kinds of different stuff going on. This was a good team at one point, and since then, nothing good. But you know, now you got Robert Saleh coming in. It looks like a new day. It looks like you got two starters in the first round. I mean, lots of stuff. Obviously, they had needs basically everywhere. But quarterback, tackle, cornerback, linebacker, and running back were big needs for them. And they hit on basically everything, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll go through this list. But aside from the Patriots, I think these guys did the best job in the draft for drafting for need, drafting for value, drafting for potential, everything else. They had a lot of bites of the apple, and I think they hit on a lot of them. Quarterback Zach Wilson with the number two pick from BYU. You got your guard or tackle, whatever you want him to be, Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. Also in the first round, they had to move up to get him. But and while I don't necessarily agree with moving up, because I think you would have been able to get him where they got him.
Oh, I disagree with that.
If that's your guy, like, go do what you do, right?
I think too many people needed offensive line, and I think he was the third best offensive lineman in this draft.
You're probably right.
He was. Don't go get him. You're not getting him.
Definitely the best interior alignment in the draft.
I disagree with you there. I think if they don't move up, he's not there.
And you might be right about that. Second round, they got Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. Love that pick. You know, you and I, Chris, have talked about Elijah Moore a lot. He is a speedster. He's awesome. He's awesome. Running back Michael Carter out of North Carolina. This dude was a beast for them last year for North Carolina and Mac Brown and that whole bunch. So getting him in the fourth round, kind of a steal in my eyes. You know, everybody talked about Javonte Williams being the better of the two. Look, you can't convince me of that. Like, both of them were superstars at that school. Round five, this is where you start taking flyers. Safety Jamien Sherwood out of Auburn. Yeah, he's a playmaker. Cornerback Michael Carter the second out of Duke. Cornerback Jason Pinnock out of Pitt. Then you get to the sixth round, Hamza Nasiruddin out of Florida State.
Nicely done.
You got cornerback Brandon Echols out of Kentucky, and defensive lineman Jonathan Marshall out of Arkansas. All of these guys can play. I think the Jets did a pretty good job of scouting and figuring out where they'd be able to get value with a bunch of these late picks. I mean, they had three picks in the fifth round, three picks in the sixth round, and took a bunch of dudes that you have seen actually be able to produce. I'm a fan of this. I think they did an outstanding job.
Me too. I think it's the best draft in the division. I always have a soft spot for BYU quarterbacks, being a 49er guy, of course, because I love me some Steve Young and even a little bit of Ty Detmer. So I love me some BYU quarterbacks. I don't know a ton about Zach Wilson. I didn't watch a ton of BYU games, but obviously everything I see, this guy has upside through the wazoo, and he should be really good for the Jets. And obviously he's going to be better than Sam Darnold. That Michael Carter pick in the fourth round, when I was watching the draft, everyone I was watching had this guy as the best available guy going through the third round. So this seems like a real steal here. And you got to remember, we're talking about a Jets team that was toting the rock with Frank Gore, 457-year-old Methuselah. Frank Gore was their bulk of their carries. And then, you know, these guys they bring off the street, Adams and LaMichael Perine, I think, or one of the Perines was over there. Somebody, Samaje Perine or LaMichael, I don't know which one. So I think they nailed it on the head. Elijah Moore, I love that pick as well. Get some weapons for that offense. I think the Jets nailed it out of the park. The best interior lineman in the draft. I was hearing a lot of people saying Zach Wilson might have more upside than Trevor Lawrence. I'll leave that up to you guys. You guys are the experts on that.
Let me go on and stop you. Zach Wilson is very much boom or bust, right? He sees all of these. When you watch him play, you can see Patrick Mahomes. You can see like this guy that is super athletic. I'll tell you what they called him his freshman and sophomore year. He was Mormon Manziel. That's what they called him. He can throw it from any angle. He can run the ball. He can scat away from any kind of defensive pressure. He's awesome with that. But his junior year, he had 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Didn't play well against good defenses. And obviously, the BYU schedule last year kind of soft. So it's you can see the potential. He's not necessarily there yet, but I mean, he's going to be the starter. You got James Morgan behind him and Mike White. Like, that's your other two quarterbacks. He's going to be the guy.
I watched every NFL game twice for probably the past 10 years as I cover the NFL. I've never heard of those two players ever once in my entire life. I don't know who the fuck they are. I'm dead serious. Who are they?
I got no idea. No idea.
It's crazy.
So go ahead, continue on. I didn't want to distract too much.
That was it. I like what the Jets did. Won it here, yeah. And I want to hear Chris bag on Zach Wilson. I feel like that's coming.
No, not at all. I'm the Zach Wilson defender. Okay, the guys, we did our live draft. Every one of those guys bagged on from West Lot. Gary, same thing. But you talked about the schedule being soft. How many good quarterbacks have we seen come from small schools before where they ended up being just fine? That's ridiculous. This kid can make every throw. If he is quote unquote a bust, it's because the Jets organization failed him. All right. There's no other reason for that. Other than that, this kid can play. He can make every throw. He's exciting to play. That team is just garbage right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So while I think they've got some good guys coming in with him, they're all going to be rookies. All right. They're all going to be carrying somebody else's shoulder pads for a long time. And those guys have no business making somebody else carry their shoulder pads because they all suck. There's not a playmaker on that roster right now. So, yeah. I think he can play. I think he's going to be just fine. I like him a lot. And once again, like I said, I think they got the third best offensive lineman in the draft. I would have loved for that dude to have fallen to Cleveland or for Cincinnati to trade back up and get him, something of that nature. But, I'm not crazy high on Michael Carter, the running back. And my reasoning is this. If there are two running backs that came out of the same college that both ran the hell out of the football very successfully and they run completely different, I just work under the assumption that it was the system. Okay, that's something that North Carolina was just doing better than everybody else, and the odds of them both coming into the NFL and being any good is pretty slim.
Okay, that's totally fair.
I'm not a big fan of that. Elijah Moore, I love that pick. I think Elijah Moore is explosive, crazy exciting. I thought he should have been a first round guy, falling to the second round only because guys in front of him have bigger names. I assure you that Elijah Moore will finish as a better wide receiver than half of the wide receivers taken in front of him. That's just going to happen. This guy can the game is now going to a deep ball game, and this guy tracks the deep ball better than any wide receiver drafted this year. Nobody tracks the deep ball. He is Stephon Diggs 2.0 when it comes to tracking the deep ball. He goes and finds the football, and he runs to it. You don't have to throw it to him. I think that's an amazing thing. Sherwood, the same thing. You're talking about a guy that played big boy college football at Auburn, against LSU, against Alabama, against Georgia every year, against A&M every year. He knows how to play defense. He's been, in some good schemes. He'll be able to play the rest of these guys. They're just flyers, all right? They're late-round guys that you're hoping a few of them can come in and play. And guess what? There's a really good shot for them, too, because there ain't a whole lot of depth on that team in front of them. So –
yep, you were right about that. Agreed. Don't forget also undrafted free agent Kenny Yeboah, tight end.
I thought Kenny Yeboah should have gotten drafted.
Same here.
He didn't. Yeah, that's a huge undrafted signing.
Yes, nice. I agree. Also, free agency for them, Greg Van Roten, right guard, brought him in. Mm-hmm. And then they filled up their wide receiver room, Corey Davis, Jamison Crowder, Keelan Cole. Like, they brought in some guys that have some experience that can probably help out Zach Wilson quite a bit. They brought in Carl Lawson, defensive edge help. I mean, this team looks better on paper right now than they did any of the last 3 years.
Oh, well, right at the top, you have Robert Saleh, who is an absolute monster and a great defensive mind, replacing the pathetic and useless Adam Gase. So right there, right off the top of the board.
I'm very curious to see the offensive scheme that they're going to run and what they're going to do there. Cause this is a guy I don't know a whole lot about.
I'm trying to think of successful dual running backs taken from the same school. All I can think of is Jerome Bettis and Ray Zellers back in like 1992.
The two most famous is Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown.
Very good. Yeah.
Cadillac, I think, would have been fine, but his entire career in the NFL was injuries. And Ronnie was a stud with the Dolphins for a long time. That's the only two that I can remember where both guys got into the NFL from the same class and both guys were really good.
Right.
Cadillac being really good is very, you know, quotation.
One or two years. He had a 1,000-yard year his rookie year, I think, didn't he?
Yes. Yep. When he was healthy, he was a monster, but when he was, his availability was just non-existent.
Yep.
Right.
You are correct. All right. We are done with the AFC East. We are going to move to the NFC East.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're going to start this thing off with the Washington football team. Now, obviously,
my Washington football team, baby. I love this football team so much.
Chris has got like six teams, man. Six teams. Ron Rivera, of course, the second-year head coach, beat cancer last year. Always a good thing. And I love what they are doing there. Obviously, there wasn't a lot to like about Washington for a long time. And you bring in Ron Rivera, you get an adult in the room, and it changes the fortunes of the entire franchise. They make the playoffs last year. The quarterback, I think that everybody thought that they should go and draft a quarterback. That wasn't really a need in their eyes. They got Fitzpatrick and they got Heinicke. Or is that how you say it, Kyle?
Tyler Heinicke.
Heinicke, whatever. And so they're treating him basically as a rookie. He was somebody who played in the XFL, and I think it's worth taking a shot on him. I mean, in the playoff game, they gave the Bucs the most trouble of any team in the playoffs. And I was impressed with what he was able to do getting a shot later on in the year. Their needs were listed as quarterback. Again, explained that one. Safety, offensive tackle, wide receiver, and linebacker. And here's what they did. First round, they went and got a linebacker, Jamin Davis, out of Kentucky. And I
like this guy.
Love this kid. Chris, do you remember the interception return that kind of broke the back of Tennessee and basically ended the Jeremy Pruitt era?
I was just about to say, this was
that's the linebacker.
Gorontano is the one that threw that one, right?
That would be correct.
Okay,
that would
I be remember correct. It happened, but he came out. He got benched in that game. I was trying to think.
Yes, did he did.
I just assume all their interceptions.
And this kid's a linebacker. I mean, he is a bruising pound, and he caught it and ran it 70 yards back and has speed. Stud. He can cover.
He's an athlete, man. He's a freak.
He will beat you to death. He's awesome. Yes. So I love him. Offensive tackle in the second round, Samuel Cosmi out of Texas. Like that pick. A pretty big dude. I think he's a super athletic offensive tackle. I think that's what you're going to need with this offense if they're moving the direction I think they are. Cornerback Benjamin St. Juste out of Minnesota. Third round, Deami Brown, wide receiver out of North Carolina, another stud guy. They got him in the third round. Fourth round, tight end John Bates out of Boise State. Safety, Derek Forrest out of Cincinnati in the fourth round. Sixth round, now you start taking your flyers, right? Cameron Cheeseman, awesome name.
Long.
Cheeseman out of Michigan. Edge rusher in the seventh round, William Bradley King. This is a kid that transferred from Arkansas State over to Baylor and was lights out. A really good player. I like the fact that they took a shot here. Edge rusher Shaka Toney out of Penn State, another guy that produced at that level. Wasn't highly looked at as, you know, a big-time draft pick, but he produced at the college level in the Big Ten. I'm a fan of him. And seventh-rounder wide receiver Dax Milne out of BYU. That's one of those kids that caught a bunch of touchdown passes from Zach Wilson. He was a lot bigger than most of the people that he played against, but he's a stud, absolute stud. They got some dudes. I am a fan of what Washington did here. I think that they hit this thing.
Yeah, I like what Washington. I like this team too. This defense is going to be absolutely nasty. I do think next year you'll probably see this team as the best defense in the NFL. I thought they were one of the two. Them along with the Rams last year were probably the two best defenses. Maybe you could throw the Saints into that conversation. And then they just go out and bolster it even more. And look, they are one of the few, especially teams we expect to compete for a playoff spot, who have no idea what their future quarterback's going to be. But they didn't reach here. Because teams forget, guess what? Next year in the draft, there's going to be another 5, 6, 7 guys who everyone needs to trade up for. And this is your quarter. So it happens every year. It's not like it's 1 year. This is the only year you can get a quarterback. And if you don't do it this year, you're screwed for the – no, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I love the Ryan Fitzpatrick signing. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. They also signed William Jackson. This team is going to be tough. I love the kid, Dyami Brown, to go along with Terry McLaurin. They signed a free agent wide receiver.
Curtis Samuel.
Thank you very much, out of Carolina. So this offense is going to be exponentially better. If they would have had Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback in that playoff game, they probably would have beaten the Bucs. I'm dead serious about that.
Ooh, that's that defense won the damn Super Bowl, man.
Well, let's say Tampa Bay got pretty lucky on the way there. Very close game against Tyler Heinicke. A missed pass interference call against the Saints, where both interceptions by Sean Murphy Bunting, which swung both of those games, were missed pass interference calls that were easy to see. I don't know what the refs were looking at and changed the dynamic of both of those games. I'm just saying, Washington's defense is nasty. This is, in my opinion, they're the team to beat in the NFC East. I like their draft. I like their free agency. The only thing I don't like, imagine if you had a kid and it took you a year and a half to give them a name. You just called it kid for a year and a half. That kid's going to be a serial killer, okay? Straight up serial killer.
Give the team a name. You're so wrong right here. I love the football team. I absolutely love the football team. I'm so in. I can't even explain it. This team for one reason. Well, two reasons right now. Two of my favorite men, and they're just football guys. It is Ron Rivera and Blackjack Del Rio, baby.
There you go.
This is without question going to be the best defense in the NFL because of those two men. They are building this team the way they want to, which is old school football, tough guys that will bully the hell out of everybody. These NFC East teams that are soft as hell have no clue what's about to hit them this year. None at all. I do agree with you. If they had a trigger man last year, they'd be a lot better. I think this offense is going to be so much better. I don't know how good Heinicke can actually be. But I know this, Fitzmagic he's still got a lot of fight left in him, all right? He's still got plenty of life left in that arm, and they've got some athletes on the outside. They've got a lot of speed at skill player position, and I think the football team is really, really good. I am not a huge fan of the NFC. I do not think it is nearly as – there aren't as many teams in the NFC that I think can win the conference as I think are in the AFC. I would take a flyer shot on getting a Super Bowl ticket on this team.
Okay, we got to talk about this name thing, though. So let's say you get a cat from the lady across the street, and you just name the cat, hey, cat,
but
I got from the lady.
Cat.
It's such a
this
big
is, but hang on, this
or,
is not a
hey,
cat.
Hey, kid who came out of my
this
wife's hole.
Like,
no, you can't name the kid that. You can't
this
give him those
team,
basic
and they're called the football team, all right? It's
that
WMT.
Kid would be a serial killer. That's all
it.
I'm saying.
Love it. Nope. That's fine. This is not a child. This is not a cat. This is a football team. What are they? They're a football team. This is exactly what I would think Riverboat Ron would come up with.
Yep. To win
We're
the
just
Super Bowl,
be the football team.
To win the Super Bowl, Washington is +5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a huge number. There's not a lot of teams in the NFC I love. Let's assume that there's a 50-50 chance that Aaron Rodgers isn't in Green Bay. Outside of Tampa Bay, tell me who you're in love with to win the Super Bowl right
now.
I like the Rams. I don't love the Rams.
Odds Rams to win, and my 49ers, they're going to be healthy, baby.
Odds to win the NFC, you can get Washington at plus 2,000.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, assume that Matt Stafford's going to go and all of a sudden be this guy that he's never been before. I think he's going to be way better than he's ever been. But let's just hold off on the fact that the guy's never won a playoff game. He's only made it to one or two playoff games in his life. And all of a sudden now he's going to win a Super Bowl. Let's just chill the hell out. Okay.
They're plus 650 to get there. Same as the 49ers.
I mean, he just got to be a little better than Jared Goff, which I feel like he can do. I feel pretty good about that because Jared Goff's a can.
Nah, but the team that they've got now is not as good offensively
as the
team that Jared Goff had. That's the difference. Is that Super Bowl team, that offense had like 3 weeks in a row where they put up like 40 or 50 points back to back to back. They had much better skilled players back then than they do now.
That is true.
Yep.
The New York Football Giants, and Dave Gettleman has found a new trick. I don't know if you guys saw this.
But
he traded back twice in this draft. He's never done it before. He figured out, holy crap, people give me more picks for this one pick when I can trade back and get the same dude I wanted. Kind of interesting. Obviously, the Giants started to look a little bit better last year after Joe Judge, took control of the team and whatnot. This is a team with a very college mindset. They got a lot of dudes, and they want to push them, and, we're all going to fight together, and we're, da-da-da-da. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily going to work all the time, but it seemed to work at some point, middle of the year, where they started playing pretty hard for him, and, I was a fan of it. I kind of like seeing that whole situation and the way that it went.
They better play. If they don't play hard, he's going to make their grandparents do push-ups on the sidelines. That dude's I hate the way he approaches the game. It's so
it's different. It's very college. It's very college. Yeah. So it's different, and I don't know how long guys are going to want to play for him or how he can be successful long-term, but last year, it seemed to work for a little bit. Obviously, Giants fans were mad about the Eagles, last game, deciding to take Jalen Hurts out of the game. Everybody thought they threw it, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, Chris and I have talked about this. Win more games. Win more games, then you don't have to worry about it. So,
don't draft Daniel Jones, okay? There you go.
Hang on. Dave Gettleman was the guy that I was talking about that maybe is pretty good at drafting, but doesn't know what stuff is priced like.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Daniel Jones is not the worst guy he could have taken, but he was absolutely the worst guy you could take at four.
Exactly.
Hey, you know who they brought in to be his backup this year?
No.
Anybody want to take a stab at it?
So it's not Colt McCoy anymore, right?
Nope. Sure not.
I got no clue.
No takers?
No clue.
I was going to look it up, but that's just cheating. I can't do that.
Chase Daniel? No.
Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon is the backup.
Mike Glennon, the alien. Yep. He's still got a job.
There we go.
This will be Daniel Jones'
make-or-break year. If you look at Mike Glennon and you don't believe aliens are real, we can't have we cannot have a rational conversation about anything else ever.
What about Sam Cassell, the actual definition of an alien?
I'm telling you this. I believe Mike Glennon's an alien. The human body doesn't grow a neck like that or a head like that.
Tyronn Lue, Sam Cassell. Tell me there's no aliens. Yeah, exactly.
Tyronn Lue just doesn't know how to wear a suit.
That's he looks all. Like that guy. Remember in Men in Black when they blew his head off and then it grows back and it's a little small and he's like, oh, man, that hurt. That's Tyronn Lue.
I fully believe Tyronn Lue is a normal built person. He just doesn't know how to wear a suit. It's like he's never met a tailor in his life. And so he just buys like the biggest suit he can find and it looks like shit on him. But if he was wearing like jeans and a t-shirt, it'd look like a normal human being.
Yes.
Super funny.
Yes. All right. So
super funny.
Went 6-10 last year. They needed edge rushing help. They need a center, guard, linebacker. So basically,
what team is this?
Who line help. We're talking about the Giants.
Giants. Okay.
We're still on the Giants. Gettleman, So they trade back in the first round and they end up with the Bears pick at number 20. And they draft, they needed. I guess they needed wide receiver. I guess.
Well, they just paid for the most expensive free agent wide receiver on the market.
Yeah, and they have Darius Slayton and they have Sterling Shepard. And they brought in John Ross. Sure about this?
Yeah, they brought in John Ross. And they got Dante Pettis as well. They signed him in the offseason.
He sucks. No.
Whatever. I mean, he's there.
I'm a 49er fan. Dante Pettis can go jump off a bridge into the water and hopefully survive and hopefully knows how to swim, but go swim to an island and never play football again. He's useless. Absolutely useless.
So they draft wide receiver Kadarius Toney, who Chris and I, you know, we're fans of. I mean, he can absolutely move. He can. He's insanely athletic, super quick guy. Don't know that he was worth the pick at 20, but, you know, we'll see. Like, he developed a lot in 2020. I mean, I think he's still got a long way to go as far as his development, but, I mean, you got a guy. Second round, you got edge rusher Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. I like that pick quite a bit. Third round, Aaron Robinson, cornerback out of UCF. Fourth round, edge rusher Ellerson Smith out of Northern Iowa. This is another guy. Those kids at Northern Iowa, man, something else. If you're not watching FCS football, there's some of these teams that you just got to pay attention to. Well, you got something
drag
going on.
Drag racing going on. Yeah, there's some drag race. My house is right next to a school, and you wouldn't believe how the people drive on this street. It's absolutely.
Holy crap, that happened right next to a school?
Yeah, there's a school, and that's what these people do. You don't know how many fights I've gotten to in the front of my house screaming at these assholes not to speed up and down this road. It's ridiculous.
I can believe it. I can believe
it. This is a drinking on the front porch situation where you throw empty beer bottles at them.
I do a lot of it. I do a lot of it.
This is definitely.
And sometimes they'll slam on their brakes when they yell and get all mouthy. And one guy, I started walking up in my flip flops, and his girlfriend goes, "Honey, drive away. This guy's going to beat you up like you got beat up last week." I'm like, yeah, you were going to get beat up.
Running back, hold on, sixth round. Let me get back to circle this thing back around. Yes.
We could
sit and talk all day long. We need to start having you on regular shows so that we can just bullshit the whole time. I'd be all about
exactly.
That. Sixth round, we got running back Gary Brightwell out of Arizona. Take a flyer, I guess. Sixth round, Radarius Williams out of Oklahoma State. He's a cornerback. So you got a couple of flyers late. Other than that, I think they did okay. Not as many picks as I would have been a fan of. You know, it's not my favorite draft by any stretch of the imagination. I think the players they got.
Arizona got a player drafted.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
The team was awful.
Yeah, but they got the
team
talent.
Was awful.
They got talent. They just weren't coached well at all.
I don't
all.
Know that they have talent.
They don't have a ton of it.
We're going to disagree with the word talent. I don't think you're using that right.
All right.
So I will say, I'll say about this draft, I'll keep it pretty short. It's meh. I don't think they really filled many of the needs they really have here. You didn't need, like, look, Daniel Jones doesn't suck. Because the wide receivers were bad, they had plenty of wide receivers and tight ends and everything you could need. He's just not a good decision maker, and he's not very well coached by Joe Judge. Plain and simple, end of story. And, you know, you bring in Jason Garrett to be your offensive coordinator. What do you think? You're going to see development? No, you're not.
Freddie
I always
Kitchens
say,
is an offensive analyst. And
Freddie coach. Kitchens. Yeah. I mean, come on. Jason Garrett looks like the guy who uses a whole roll of toilet paper to cover the toilet seat in a public bathroom. He looks like a germaphobe. But he really does. But I thought it was meh. I mean, the best part about the draft is that he traded down and got more assets for next year, et cetera. And I think that's the best thing that he did and sort of got rid of that stigma that he'll never trade down and never do the right thing. Well, could Tony be a super explosive player and just absolutely. But I don't think this is going to improve their win total next year. I don't think this makes them exponentially better in the future. It's just sort of meh for me.
Hey, why do you think he didn't go after any offensive line help in this draft? Like, they didn't sign anybody really in the offseason. You know, they brought in Zach Fulton, who's a guard out of Houston, but, like, I
don't get it.
Did I miss something?
I should have been all offensive linemen as far as I'm concerned. Look what you had happen last year. Your star running back, the main piece of your offense, injured for most of the year. Daniel Jones always running for his life, ended up being your lead rusher. Oh, Wayne Gallman was okay. He's now with the 49ers. But, yeah, I mean.
Did they have guys hurt last year? Like, is that?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants were a mess, but defensive back wasn't their problem. If you remember, that defense actually got a lot better, and it was hard to throw. Yeah. It was hard to throw on that secondary, so I'm not
The biggest
not
issue for me
sure.
was the offensive line, and I was kind of, you know, concerned that they didn't do anything to shore it up.
If you're going to spend the number 4 overall pick 1 year on Daniel Jones, and then the number 2 overall pick on a running back, I don't care how good Saquon Barkley is. He could be the second coming of Jim Brown. It doesn't matter. You do not spend the number 2 overall pick on a running back. David Gettleman is a moron. If you're the organization, you're very happy that he got you new assets for next year so you can fire his ass and hire somebody who knows how to build a team.
Yep.
I agree. Chris, you got anything else about the Giants here?
Yeah, I don't like this draft. I don't like what they did at all. It's not that Tony's not good. I think Tony's probably good. I think there's a lot of wide receivers I like that went behind him. A lot, but not a little better than him. A lot better than him. And the other part of it is I don't I don't know what he's trying to do. You talk about plan. I don't know what the plan is here outside of let's build more assets for next year and the year after, because we're not really sure what our team is supposed to look like, but that's because you cocked up the two drafts in previous years. So this is the reason your team doesn't have any like real cohesion. You just spent the most free agent money that anybody in the league spent on a wide receiver. Then you're going to spend your most valuable draft pick on that same position. What are we like? That doesn't make any sense.
None. And what's wrong with Slayton and Shepard? They're both really good young players.
They're both fine. They're both fine. I mean, if you think that having the best wide receiver, let's say this draft pick makes them have the best wide receiving core in the league. Do you think that makes that team that much better?
No. Daniel Jones is your quarterback.
Because you have too many other holes.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would have liked more bites at the apple this year.
This is a really good offensive line draft. There's no reason for them to have not taken an O-lineman. This is none.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I really wish they would have taken one at 14, or back where they were, instead of selling to Chicago. So then Fields falls to the Patriots.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
I see the real reasoning behind what you wanted. The Dallas Cowboys, America's team. They got Dak Prescott coming back. That's a good thing. The offense last season, even with Andy Dalton, was not the issue. The offense was able to put up points. The issue was defense. And obviously, they did not pick up the fifth-year option on, my God, I went blank. What's the guy's name? Van Der Esch, right?
Leighton Van Der Esch.
Yeah. So, didn't pick up the option on him. And Sean Lee decided he's going to retire, but he was never available anyway. So, you know, you had holes that you needed to fill up. In free agency, they went out and they got Carlos Watkins, defensive tackle out of Houston. I think that was okay, but they had a bunch of holes on defense that they needed to fill. Their first six picks all went defense. Their needs were cornerback, safety, defensive tackle, linebacker, and they needed an offensive tackle. Okay, you know, tackle for offense, I think that they've got it shored up, but either way, they drafted in the first round Micah Parsons out of Penn State, who, honestly, last year I would have thought he would have been a top five guy. He is a monster. And getting him at 12 is an insane value pick. You were able to move backwards and still pick this guy up. I think it's a great pick. They got Kelvin Joseph, cornerback out of Kentucky in the second round, and he's a stud. You got defensive interior lineman Osa Odigizuwa out of UCLA in the third round. You got Chauncey Golston, edge rusher out of Iowa in the third round. Late third round, you got Nashawn Wright, cornerback out of Oregon State. And then in the fourth round, you got linebacker Jabril Cox out of LSU, who actually transferred to LSU last year from North Dakota State, where he was a stud there as well. Played well for LSU last year. That scheme was awful for Chris's Tigers last year. But fourth round, you got offensive tackle Josh Ball out of Marshall. Marshall was able to run the ball down people's throats last year. So he is a stud. Simi Fayoko out of Stanford, wide receiver in the fifth round. And then you start taking your flyers, right? Defensive lineman Quinton Bohanna out of Kentucky. Israel Mukuamu out of South Carolina, played well with South Carolina. I've watched him multiple times. Could not begin to pronounce his name, but, you know, could be a stud. Well, maybe Mukuamu. Not. And then Matt Farniok out of Nebraska, offensive guard in the seventh round. Another guy to take a flyer on. He's a big hog molly. You know how that goes. I think the Cowboys did well. I love teams that, one, I can see the strategy, right? They needed to shore up defense. Hey, your first six picks are all defense, and they're all in the first three rounds, early fourth round. I'm a fan of that. And on top of that, you know, I think they got some dudes. So I like what the Cowboys did. I think it was okay.
Yeah, I thought this is probably Jerry Jones' best draft since they got Dak in the fourth round. This is an absolutely fantastic, and it's surprising almost, because we know how Jerry Jones is, and he always wants to take the flashy guy and wants to take this guy his team doesn't need, and that is not what they did. That defense was the second worst run defense in the league last year. They couldn't stop anyone in the passing game either, and they just come out, and you nailed it right on the head. Their first six picks on defense, they only took two players on the offensive side, or three players, excuse me, on the offensive side of the ball. Two of those were linemen and then a late flyer on a wide receiver they don't need. Good job by the Cowboys. This is absolutely what they needed to do. They focused on the right side of the ball, did it hard. Six players, title of your sex tape, did it hard through the first four rounds. Love what the Cowboys did here. One of the better drafts in this division. if not the best draft in the division, just based on getting needs and not doing the dumb thing that the Cowboys usually did. So as much as I hate to say it and as much as I can't stand the Cowboys or Cowboys fans, I do like what the Cowboys did here.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think they did have the best draft in this division. This is the first time that it looks like Jerry got absolutely out of the way and people around the organization began to make picks. They went after their needs. I think they filled their needs well. I like Micah Parsons a lot. I think he's going to be fine. Like I said, Gary said this earlier, if he came out last year, he's a top five pick. So right. The fact that he came out this year, he sat out, whatever, it was weird.
Wasn't there some like fight or something he incited people got freaked out
a little bit. It was not just fight. There was some hazing. That went on in the locker room that had some sexual allegations to it. But anyway, the cornerback from Kentucky, Joseph's going to be really good. Mark Stoops has put defensive players in the NFL and every one of them have been absolute pros. They might not be Pro Bowl guys, but they're all making rosters. They're all starting or getting lots of snaps on the teams for the last 2 or 3 years. And I think he's just going to keep doing that. He's turning things around in Kentucky. Love what he's doing there. I like what the Cowboys are doing. I don't know how much it affects wins and losses this year because these are all rookies. Some of them are going to come in, play well immediately, and some of them are going to take a year or two to actually have an effect on the outcome of games for this team, which means, do I think they can still score 45 a game? Probably. Do I still think they're going to get beat 48 to 45 a lot? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
You'll be an over monster. You'll just be hitting overs with this Cowboys team next year. Just hitting the overs.
Yes, that's right.
Do you think the books are ever going to get the balls to actually just start jacking these numbers up? Because we never really make them that big.
It starts getting there. Like, let's just say 8 years ago, when you saw a total of 45, 44 and a half, you're like, ooh, that's really iffy. Now you see that, like, okay, I've got to figure out a way to talk myself into this because now it's 54 and a half, 56 and a half. Yeah. Shit, you never thought you would see 10 years ago. You're seeing it consistently across the board this year. Sure. And you're going to see a lot of that with this Cowboys team, especially with Dak.
Oh, no, if it's in the 50s, it's over because they're scoring 25 and they're losing by at least a touchdown in that game.
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
I agree. The Philadelphia Eagles will close out the NFC East and our draft reactions for this season. The Eagles, 4-11-1 last year. They fired Doug Peterson, and they go back to the well. They go and grab Nick Sirianni, who was the offensive coordinator for Frank Reich for the last 3 years at Indianapolis. I guess if you had something that worked before, why not go back and try the same thing all over again? Sure, why not? You won a Super Bowl with Frank Reich as your offensive coordinator. Well, just bring in Frank's offensive coordinator when he was a head coach, and maybe it'll work out. Who knows? Yeah. They had a lot of needs. I'm guessing, quarterback, probably a need. They didn't do anything with that, but okay, whatever. Cornerback, wide receiver, tight end, and linebacker were the needs that basically the masses said that they would need. And here's what they did. First round, they go and get Devontae Smith out of Alabama. I think it's a pretty good pick. Elite wide receiver. Yep. He's kind of on the small side, but today's game, a lot different than it used to be. You can weigh 166 pounds and still be an impact guy. Interior offensive lineman, Landon Dickerson. He played center at Alabama, but he's also a guard, so you can kind of move him around wherever you need him to be. They got him in the second round. Defensive lineman, Milton Williams out of Louisiana Tech. This kid's a stud. They got him in the third round. Not a lot of people going to know his name, but he can play. He can absolutely ball. Cornerback, Zach McPherson out of Texas Tech. Not sure about that one, but, I mean, if you see you see something with him that you like, okay, that's cool. I didn't see him make a bunch of plays last year, but either way, it could have just been the team he was on. Kenneth Gainwell, running back out of Memphis that they got in the fifth round, he was a redshirt freshman and absolutely lit college football on fire. He was the superstar of the team when Memphis went 13-1 2 years ago, sat out this past year due to COVID concerns, And now, of course, he goes fifth round. I think the Eagles got a stud here. I mean, I've said the term.
This is the definition of why you don't spend first-round assets on
running backs. Exactly.
Because guys like this are in the fifth round all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Marlon Tuipulotu.
Pretty close, I think.
Out of USC. Defensive lineman there. They got him in the sixth. This is where you start taking flyers on guys. Edge rusher Taron Jackson out of Coastal Carolina. I think this kid's awesome. Perfect guy to take a stab at. I think he's awesome. I think he's absolutely, I mean, he made that Coastal Carolina defense last year. Sixth round, Jacoby Stevens out of LSU. I think he fell to the sixth round basically due to the scheme that LSU had last year. Because I think a year prior, I mean, Jacoby Stevens played great in 2019.
Yeah, I was just about to say, 2019, that 2019 special team, he was unbelievable.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Last year, they did him no justice.
No, they did not. And then, of course, they got edge rusher Patrick Johnson out of Tulane in the seventh round. The Eagles look like, you know, with this draft, they look like they're competent right now. And I don't know that they've always looked like that in the past couple of years. But this year, I mean, they got some dudes, and they're taking mm-hmm. some chances on some guys that can really hit. There's some boom or bust guys in here, but I'm a fan. I like it.
Yeah, me too. And look, if you go off what the Eagles looked like the past 2 years, it's they looked like Doug Peterson, which means they look like divorce. That's what Doug Peterson looks like is divorce. He just looks like divorce and whiskey right there. That's him. But I love this draft for the Eagles. I love Devontae Smith. Now, I know he's a little undersized, but when the limited college football I watched last year and they were Alabama games, this looked like varsity versus the freshman team. This guy gets open. He kind of reminds me of when the year that Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Big Ben were just going off in Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown was absolutely unstoppable. He reminds me of that version of Antonio Brown without the behavioral issues. I love Devontae Smith. The Eagles have absolutely needed to get a surefire wide. You couldn't come out here again and take some no-namer like a Jalen Reagor over a Justin Jefferson again. You cannot make that mistake again. I think they nailed it with this pick in Devontae Smith. I absolutely love it. Dickerson in the second round, if this kid hadn't hurt his ACL, he probably would have been a first-round pick. So I really like that. They need offensive line help. Try to keep Miles Sanders healthy, of course. It looks like you're going all in with Jalen Hurts because you don't want to have to bring in Joe Flacco, who just went there to be the backup. nobody wants to see that. So I like what the Eagles did. I thought it was a good draft. Finally, Howie Roseman and company did a good job here. Devontae Smith, just really, I love that kid. He's one of my favorite players to watch. I don't care what his size is. I think he has a real shot to be Rookie of the Year. Like the Eagles draft, I thought they did a good job. And look, the NFC East is wide open next year. None of these teams are great teams, but they all have a chance. You know, it's going to be another 9-8, 10-7 type winner in this division. And the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts can stay upright and that secondary can stop people, might have a chance.
Hey, by the way, Roseman and that bunch, on top of the draft, they're undrafted guys that they brought in pretty good as well. They got Trevon Grimes out of Florida. That kid's a playmaker. And they brought in Jamie Newman, who was the quarterback that transferred to Georgia. He was at Wake Forest, and everybody kind of slotted him in. He was like a top five PFF guy at coming back to college and opted out for COVID concerns and whatnot. And everybody thought he was going to be first or second round guy. He opts out. He doesn't even get drafted. And they brought him in, gave him a shot. I mean, I'm a fan.
I like it.
Yeah, I definitely spent a waiver, substantial amount of my waiver fab in my Dynasty League on picking up Jamie Newman. I want a guy that I think is a good quarterback playing behind a guy that I don't think is a good quarterback. So
sure.
Neither here nor there. Yeah. I like what they did. I absolutely like what they did. I think they're a quarterback away from being really good. I think Jalen Hurts is a great guy. It sucks that we live in a world, we got to put this caveat in there because you can't talk shit about a guy's ability because it makes you think that, oh, well, if he's such a nice guy, you're an asshole for thinking he's not great at football.
Told you, the pussification of America. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I think he's a great guy. I think this year he's going to struggle really badly. Kielish. I think the NFL got to watch him play football for a year. When we get tape on guys, when the league gets tape on guys that are very limited in what they're able to do, it's almost like clockwork that those dudes get shut down, and they get shut down bad.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I love Jalen Hurts, you know I do, but Chris, I've told you on our show for years that he is not an NFL quarterback.
He's not an NFL quarterback. He's a crazy, stupid athlete, but he is not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he can run. He can show run, but he can't throw. So That wraps up our draft coverage for this year. Kyle, this has been a hell of a lot of fun. A hell of a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this.
I've enjoyed the hell out of this. I've been waiting to do this. Home, man. I love you guys, and I love being on. So anytime I will be on, you guys just send me the word, and I'll be here. I love working. Sure. And you guys do a great job. Make sure, if you're watching on my channel too, go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I always get that shit wrong. I always get it wrong. But I love these guys, and they know what they talk about in college football. They're the only place I go to if I'm betting college. These are who I go to right
here. That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. Gentlemen, is there anything else that we need to hit on today?
It, brother.
That is it. Well, let's
it.
Wind this thing down then. All right, you guys go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF/NFL/MLB. And head over to the DFS Bachelor YouTube page. Make sure you check that out. And, of course, you can always follow Kyle on Twitter at DFS Bachelor. You can follow myself and Chris. We don't say this enough, but at Chris B. Giannini and at Gary WCE. Very easy to do. We would love to hear from you. Jump in the comments. We want to hear what you think about this. We've had a lot of people that are commenting and telling us that we're dead wrong. Tell us how we're dead wrong. I'd love to hear. Love to hear it. So you guys have been fantastic for tuning in. Kyle, Chris, thanks for the time. And you guys take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.